Hey folks, this is 13 and 3, otherwise known as Mogi and JC, welcoming you to the next episode of the Breakout Sessions podcast. This episode is sponsored by Robecki's Ringside Bar and Grill and Chippewa Valley Orthopedic Sports Medicine. We would like to welcome our guest to this podcast, three-time national championship winning head coach of UMD Bulldogs, Scott Sandlin. Mogi?
Coach Sandlin, welcome to the podcast. Great having you.
Yeah, great to be here with you guys.
I apologize for that intro, Coach. But anyway, let's move on. We're here in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin today. You're about ready to start a scrimmage with the Badgers. What are you looking to hopefully see from your players today?
Well, again, we always treat these games as a starting point. So again, you know, you get opportunities to see some freshmen getting their first look at college hockey and kind of get an idea where your team is at. It's nice that we're playing a quality team. A lot of times we play Canadian universities, which a lot of them, you know, it varies, but it's nice to play an opponent that, you know, all of our guys are very familiar with too, and you know, a good hockey team. And you know, again, it's just one of those things where you get opportunities to see your players, you can try different things and kind of get an idea where you're at before we start the regular season.
Certainly. And three-time national champion, mm-hmm. When you're out recruiting looking for players, what are you looking for a fit for your program?
Well, I think some of it depends on your needs, for sure. You know, obviously what you're losing. You know, in today's world, we're planning so far ahead. It's more difficult because, you know, the younger recruits. But, you know, I think number one, for us, you look at the person first. I mean, we can see what's on the ice, whether it's the skating ability or skills, but you got to dig deeper and find out the character, the coachability, the personality of the player. And, you know, and again, our players do a good job with when we bring kids in, you know, to get to know those guys and give us good feedback, too. So it's easy for us as coaches to make decisions, but it's nice to be involved with your players. Unfortunately, last year was way different with the 18-month pause with the recruiting and the COVID. And but it's, you know, we really want good kids that fit. And, you know, we've kind of found a niche, you know, and again, but a lot of it depends on what your needs are, for sure. And then finding that right kid to fill that spot, whether it's speed, skill, size. But the character part and the coachability part is big.
In the off season, do you have a program that you have your players follow, or do you let them go on their own?
No, our strength coach, you know, puts together, you know, their summer programs based on what you know, how the year went. I mean, that sometimes there's guys with injuries, so that might be adjusted a little bit. But you know, we'll have discussions at the end of the year on what we with him on what we feel guys need to improve on, whether it's speed or strength or, you know, adding weight or losing weight. And so those guys will stay after our semester, our second semester, for a few weeks. We have a May term that we keep them there, and they can go to a class or they can still take a summer class. But then we let them go home for the summer. Like they're gone early June, and they come back, you know, pretty much when week before school starts. Some will come back during the summer, but our strength coach pretty much monitors all of their progress and what they're doing through the summer. And you know, obviously they leave with him having a pretty good understanding of where they left at, and obviously monitoring it through the summer and then seeing where they're at when they come back.
Mogi, kind of similar to our off-season workout, don't you think?
yeah pretty much, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So, grew up in Hibbing, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. What was your time up there? I mean, obviously, you had a pretty prolific career in hockey yourself. You want to share any memories growing up in Hibbing and how things transpired for you in the hockey world?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there was, you know, it's the Iron Range, as they call it. That was the big industry, and obviously, it's a lot different now, but, you know, it was thriving back then, and you know, again, the high school hockey at that time in our conference was really good. You know, now you're seeing the decline up there with people and the merging of schools, like you do in a lot of places, is because the numbers aren't there. But you know, I was very fortunate to grow up in a smaller community. You know, I had an outdoor rink a half a block away, had one in my backyard. But ironically, I grew up in a basketball family. So my dad was a basketball player. He's 6'4". My brother was 6'4". I don't know where I got the 6 foot height, but I did play basketball initially until I realized I'm not a good basketball player, and all my buddies that I grew up with in the neighborhood, you know, I grew up with about 10 or 12 guys that were my age or similar to my age and just got into hockey about a year after they did and just fell in love with it. And then got to move on to high school and play and get on to college and then on to pro.
So when you were at Hibbing, Coach, anything you can share with us about your former defensive partner, Steve Kaplow?
Steve, just number one, he's a great person. He was, you know, Stevie was an older guy. Obviously, I was younger than him, so, you know, you always look up to those guys. But, no, he always took care of the young guys, and, you know, he was always positive. And I just remember him being, you know, I graduated with his brother, Joe, so I know the family pretty well. But, you know, he was just a guy that always, you know, had positive things to say and you know, was a pretty good player in his own right. I don't think he, you know, maybe played as much as he probably would have liked, but going way back, I'm still trying to remember, but just a really good guy and a really good person and a really good teammate.
For our listeners, Mr. Kaplow is a former hockey player that Mogi and I played hockey with for many years, and so we wanted to just check on his character with the coach and see if it was the individual we thought he was.
Thank you for sharing, Coach.
I mean, he might be different now. I don't think so, though.
Well, he's changed a little. But, you know, your collegiate career, University mm-hmm. of North Dakota, you had some significant awards. Mm-hmm. You know, you played at top-tier hockey in your day. Anything that stands out about your collegiate career that, you know, you want to share with the listeners that, you know, made you feel like this was the sport that you made the right choice?
Yeah, I wish. It's tough, you know, and you know, it's funny when you're a coach and you're recruiting players, you think back to those days when you know, some kids have a lot of choices and some kids it's a very difficult decision. But you know, Dean Blaze was the assistant coach at the time, Gino Gasparini was the head coach, and Dean was recruiting me for about 2 years, so he played a big part in me going there. Obviously, Gino was a very successful coach. The program was obviously great, you know. And then when I got there, too, John Marks, another former North Dakota defenseman, pro player, came in as a guy that worked with the defenseman. So that was great. And then Kerry Eads got injured in pro and came back as a grad assistant. So I look back at it. Number one, I had a great coaching staff. Dean was a big reason I went there, like I said. But, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, I came out of high school. We didn't play junior. It was different back then. I thought I was kind of a hot shot, you know, pretty good. And, you know, you get there and you start seeing the guys that are there. You know, James Patrick, you know, a 20-year NHL vet that was an All-American. And certain guys, you know, Rick Zombo. And I'm like, whoa, I got a lot of work to do. And, you know, I think that was a real eye-opener for me. And then you get it, you know, you're playing against – you know, they recruit a lot of Western Canadian guys, so it was a little different brand than high school, I can tell you that. But, you know, you realize that you got a lot of work to do. And fortunately, I had, like I said, I had great coaches. I think personally, it made me super motivated to get out there and work on my skills and get better, because the first 10 games, I think I sat out 6 of them, right? And so I'm like, I got to do something here. And I do remember Dean skating over to me one practice and he's got that silver tooth, and I'm like, uh-oh, this is not good, and he's red, and he just skated over and said, you know what, start playing like you can play because you're embarrassing me. And I'm like, okay, and I never missed another game after that. So it was a good motivator for me, but I realized I had a lot of work to do.
Humbling moment.
You put in the time, Coach. You're a Hobie Baker Award finalist. You're all WCHA first team, second team All-American, UND Most Valuable Player. You get drafted by Montreal with the 40th overall mm-hmm. pick. Holy cow, you had seven year professional career. So now you're in the coaching ranks, and now you're recruiting kids that I'm guessing have some of the same aspirations that you had mm-hmm. when you were a player. What kind of guidance, what kind of support do you give them? I know you're working on being the best UMD team you can be. Do you help the kids when they're looking towards, hey, coach, is it time for me to make that jump, or how does that work with you folks here?
Yeah, we try to. You know, I mean, you know, we've been lucky over my years here. We've had a lot of guys that have been in those situations and have moved on. Some have come back. I mean, I don't think it's ever bad for anybody to stay longer in any place that they're at. But I do think there are some guys that are in certain positions that are ready to go, and we encourage that. If, you know, I think the biggest part of it for me is seeing if kids are mentally ready. I think we can see that they can play. You know, is it a good fit? Are you going to have an opportunity? We want them to jump right into the NHL, which doesn't always happen, but, you know, you want your kids moving on to the highest level when they're leaving your program. But there's a lot of tough discussions, right? I mean, there's a lot of noise for those players. You got agents, you got, you know, obviously still parents, but the agents play a big part in that. I mean, you got organizations that are telling them certain things. So, you know, who are they listening to? You know, you hope that when you recruit a player, when they're younger and you bring them in, you're communicating with them when they're younger, you're communicating when they're there, you know, you see them every day, that hopefully that they have that respect for you, you know, your opinion when it comes time to make that decision, because it's a major decision. It's a life decision. I mean, they move on. That's their job. And, you know, a lot of guys, I don't know if all of them look at it that way. I think some do, majority do, but some, you know, see other guys. Again, it's a peer pressure things, right? Just like recruiting. And, you know, sometimes it makes it difficult, but we try and steer them and give them the best advice without, you know, saying, no, you shouldn't go, or yes, you should go. But it's difficult because of, you know, the people that they're dealing with and a lot of the information that they're getting besides ours.
Sure.
Like to give a shout out to Robecki's Ringside Bar and Grill, where you will find a friendly atmosphere to talk about your favorite sports moment. And quality service is always first, located across from Hobbs Ice Center in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Coach, when did you start to transition or think, you know, it's time to give up the playing and time to concentrate on coaching? Was there a turning point?
Yeah, it was my last year of pro. I hurt my back, and I was playing in Kalamazoo, Minnesota's farm team, and it was actually an Olympic year too. And Dean, again, going back to Dean was assistant coach. He called me and said, hey, you want to be on the Olympic team? And I said, well, I would, but I haven't played in a month and a half. And, you know, my back never really got better. I probably could have had surgery, but this was back the year Tampa came into the league. And so, you know, I had a tough decision. I had some opportunities to go to camps. I had some European offers. But I remember I was at a pro camp in North Dakota. Gino ran a pro camp before, you know, all the guys went to camps, pro camps. And just skating backwards, my back went out, and I literally crawled off the ice. And I was I stayed at Brad Berry's house. And literally for 3 days, I couldn't move. So I'm like, okay, this might not be good. I need to make a decision, you know, do I keep playing or, you know, do I not? And I decided, I took a couple weeks to figure out what I wanted to do. And I got wind of a pro league that was starting, American Hockey Association, by three guys. It was Bismarck, Fargo, St. Paul, Hibbing, and Green Bay. And I'm like, sure, maybe I'll get into coaching, and did the coach GM thing. And we had a salary cap, which, coming off a player when you want all the money, it was interesting to go through that. But it was a great experience, and that league didn't last very long. But, you know, that was the decision. And, you know, as far as coaching, I really enjoyed and thought about coaching back when I worked hockey camps. You know, just I enjoyed when I was in college and I went back and just working with the players, and thought, hey, maybe that's something too. But when it ends like that, or you make that decision, it's tough to get out of the game because you've been doing it for so long. And I didn't want to get away from the game, so I thought coaching was the next best way. And, you know, here I am still coaching.
You had some excellent coaching mentors, and you mentioned the name Dean Blaze a few times. You won two national championships with him as an assistant at North Dakota. What lessons from him did you take with you to UMD as their head coach?
Well, first of all, I just hard work, compete. He loved fast teams. I thought he was a coach that you always knew where you stood. He was fair. He was tough, but he was honest with players, and I think that's something that I really respected. And I think in today's world, I think that's what kids need. You need some tough love, but you also need honesty. And sometimes kids don't like honesty because it's they perceive it as negative, right? And
right.
But he was a guy that did whatever. He did not like to lose. I know that. He was. I don't care if we're playing cribbage. I don't care if we're fishing. I don't care if we're golfing. He was one fierce competitor, and he's always been that way. And just those traits made guys want to play for him.
Looking back at the national championships you've won, are they all equally as, you know, fun to win, or is the first one the most magnificent, and then you just, that gives you the drive to want the more? Or what are your thoughts on in your personal feelings about those that you have won?
I think the first one was obviously special because it was the first one for our program. And I think anytime you do something for the first time, it's pretty special. You know, the other two are equally as special in different ways, right? You know, the second one, we had a bunch of young freshmen D that matured, and, you know, we were sitting in middle or bottom of the league and had a good second half and put things together and, you know, barely got in. And, you know, the 18-19 team was just a good hockey team that played well and got better and better and better. And I think actually the 19-20, the COVID year, we probably had one of our better teams that unfortunately didn't get a chance to, you know, to get there, much like some other teams. But no, they're all unique. And I think one thing I've learned too is you really appreciate them because it's so hard to do. And you see a lot of great teams, you know, have great seasons, but maybe not win that last game. And, you know, to get to those points, to get to those opportunities, to have those experiences and ultimately win, you know, the national championship, you really appreciate them. So I appreciate all of them, but that first one certainly was very special.
That's got to be awesome. So, Coach, you've been at UMD, I believe this is the beginning of your 21st season?
22nd
season. How do you continue to reload and continue to be in the hunt for that national championship every year?
Great question. You know, you know, it's tough. You know, I mean, there, a lot of people have asked too, you know, you've been successful lately and you've won championships. Recruiting should be easy. Recruiting's tough. I mean, there's a lot of great staffs, a lot of great programs. Guys work extremely hard. So, again, it's kind of trying to find that right niche of players that, you know, that fit. I mean, you certainly need that blend. You need some high-end guys that can make, you know, the difference in a game. Sometimes, unfortunately, you don't keep those guys for 4 years, but they're still, you know, important to your program. But, again, it's just finding the right group of players. And like I said, it goes back to character. We have kind of a blue-collar mentality there. You know, we're not Minnesota. We're not the big school. You know, we're in the system, but we're still the up north smaller school. And, you know, I think we're always going to be that way. But I think we get guys that buy into what we're trying to do. And, you know, my staff does a great job with recruiting those players and developing those players. And like I said, a big part of our success is our support staff. Like I've had trainers and equipment and hockey ops people that have been with me for 12 to 15 years. So they're a big, big part of it. You know, your assistants change, but I've been very fortunate to work with some great assistant coaches. And I've got a couple right now in Derek Plan and Adam Krause. And, you know, it's ironic with the three championships, I've had a different staff with each one. And so I still find that, you know, so I think, I guess for me, that tells me that, you know, the players are the main part of that, right? So, but we've got good kids. They buy in. We're going to work. It might not always be pretty, but, and we're a team that just, I think, embraces what we are.
So you've been around for, this is the start of your 22nd year. You mentioned earlier that Coach Osiki worked with you previously at North Dakota, and I can imagine you've had contact with a lot of the other coaches for many, many years, and you're probably really good buddies with a lot of these guys. But every time you come to the barn on Friday and Saturday nights, it's us against them. So anybody that you feel brings out the best in you as a coach and or the best of your team?
You know, it's funny because, you know, obviously we switched leagues, right? You know, I mean, it was, you know, the WCHA, it just seemed like everybody that you played. I mean, you had great coaches, you had great programs. You know, you missed some of those rivalries, obviously, with Minnesota and Wisconsin on a regular basis. But, you know, certainly our fans do. But, you know, like our current league is tough. I mean, you know, it's, I think college hockey is hard right now. I think there's a lot of parity. But certainly when you play within your league, you know, the North Dakotas, the Denvers, you know, St. Cloud, you know, even Western Michigan, you know, all the teams in our league, too. I think I like the fact that it reminds me a lot of the WCHA, where you have to be on your toes as a coach. I think it gets your players focused when you turn around and play another really good opponent. So I think that really helps you get better during the year.
As winning, as much winning as you've done, you've obviously caught the eye of the next level, I'm certain. NHL, AHL, whatever. Any aspirations yourself to move up to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always those aspirations. It's no different than when you're a player. You want to experience the highest level of playing. You want to experience maybe the highest level of coaching. But, You know, it's also got to be the right opportunity. And I've said, you know, I probably haven't been a coach that's, I don't have an agent that's out there throwing my name around for every job that comes around. You know, I've been contacted by a few teams over the last 3, 4, 5 years in different roles that I've thought, yeah, that's kind of intriguing. That's certainly something that, you know, I might be interested in. And but I'm also getting older. So, you know, it seems like they're looking for a lot of younger guys. But there's definite interest there. If, you know, again, I've always said if teams are interested in talking to me, I'll certainly listen. And if it's something that works out, then it does. But, again, I'm blessed with having a great job. I love living in Duluth. We've got a, you know, a program that I take a lot of pride in. And certainly my family loves living there. But, you know, again, if that opportunity comes, you certainly look at it. And if it works out, then you take it.
I know that you've got to get going here because your team's got to get on the ice, coach. So just a couple quick questions here. Any former players that stand out that you felt had the leadership that you knew that they were going to move on to a higher level?
God, I'll get myself in trouble if I forget some
guys.
Yeah,
don't forget anybody, coach.
Yeah,
no pressure.
You know what? I've been lucky. I think like every coach, you know, there's always – there's always, you know, certain players that do stand out. I don't want to get into mentioning names because I know I'll forget somebody. But, you know, you always have that one that, you know, if you had 25 of them, your job's easy. And we've been lucky to have quite a few of those. But at the same time, it's probably good that you don't have 25 because then you don't have any super challenges as a coach, right? But, no, we've had some really good kids that have... You know, some have moved on and are successful in the NHL. Some are over in Europe. Some are in the American League still and fighting their way up. But no, it's. I think we all have those guys, and like I said, I'd probably be doing them injustice if I mentioned names and forgot some names because I've been pretty fortunate to be around a lot of great kids.
If I'm a young listener right now and I want to catch the eye or the ear of Coach Sandlin, what am I working on? What do I need to build on?
I think the best advice is, you know, just be what you are. You know what I mean? I think a lot of players that I see nowadays, especially even players sometimes when we get them, are being told to be something that maybe they're not. And some guys struggle with that. And, you know, not everybody's going to be a goal scorer. Not everyone's, you know, going to be an offensive defenseman. You know, I think you got to find your niche or your groove and just work to be consistent at it. You can always add to your game. But I think when you start getting into situations where you're trying to do too much or trying to do some things to impress other people, I think that's maybe where kids fall behind. So I think it's, you know, find out what your strengths are. Continue to work on those. Make sure that you're willing to admit you have some weaknesses and work on those and just try and put a well-rounded game together. And I think as they get older, they start to figure out a little bit more what they are, and the faster and the, you know, I always say the smart ones really figure it out quick, right? And they go on to be successful quicker, and sometimes fight that, and some guys fight that, and it takes a little bit longer. It doesn't mean they can't get there, but I think it's just be who you are, and be proud of that, and like don't try and be somebody that you're not.
Great words of wisdom. Hoagie?
Absolutely. I can't thank you enough, Coach Sandlin, for taking the time prior to the scrimmage with the Badgers in Chippewa Falls. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your stories. And we wish you and the Bulldogs nothing but good luck this season.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Fun. You're welcome, Coach.
Fun being on.
Oh, we're happy you were here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please don't go away. Don't forget about our sponsors, Robecki's Ringside Bar and Grill. Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine has been committed to the health care needs of patients in western Wisconsin since 1954. We've got the Medical Minute and a special guest coming up. Our special guest today is Ethan Foyles, who is a northern Wisconsin boy playing hockey all over the state of Wisconsin and other locations. Moog?
Welcome, Ethan. We're looking forward to hearing your story today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Ethan, can you tell us when you started playing hockey?
I started playing hockey at age 5 through Chippewa until last year. I decided to play for the Choice program in Minnesota. And then because of the shutdown and COVID, I went and played for the Bear and Iceman. And then this year I decided I wanted to play for the Wisconsin Junior Gamblers. And I had to work my butt off to get there, but I had to try out, sorry.
I bet you did work your butt off, and you just said tryouts. So there were tryouts to get on this team, correct?
Yeah.
And when did this happen?
In June.
And any idea how many kids tried out for the Junior Gamblers?
A lot, and it was a mixed group of 06s and 05s.
So if you, for our listeners, if you were playing hockey in a regular league, you would be, what, a freshman in high school then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And with the Junior Gamblers, what position do you play?
I play right wing.
And you said, you know, you had to work your butt off. Was there anybody that kind of pushed you or, you know, you wanted to work your butt off because somebody helped you along the way or, you know, inspired you to try out for this team?
Yeah, my parents always, they're always on me to get better and better, and they never want me to quit because they realize how much they have invested in it. And I got to watch my brother play last year, and I just wanted, I knew that that was where I wanted to be.
So, Ethan, what made you decide at the age of five to give hockey a shot?
Well, I was placed into it, and I actually didn't like hockey for about a long time until about 2-3 years ago. Then I decided that I wanted to go somewhere with it. So I decided to keep going with it.
Well, good for you. It sounds like you understand hard work. You understand the benefits of the hard work. I know it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of sacrifice, but obviously you've seen the success, what that brings. So here you are with the Gamblers for your first year. That's pretty awesome. And I'm looking at you. You're a big guy. Okay. You're, what are you, 14 years old?
15,
but how tall are you right now?
About 6 foot.
6 foot, how much you weigh?
160.
Holy cow. So you got that right wing coming in hard on the forecheck. I don't want to be that defenseman. What do you think, JC?
Oh, thank goodness I got a long reach because I wouldn't want to get close to him. I think he'd knock me on my keister. Where do you travel with the Gamblers?
So far this year, we've been to Pittsburgh. We practice in Appleton and Green Bay. That's all we've been for games except for, then we went to the Junior Admirals. We went to them.
All right. And Pittsburgh, you got to meet somebody pretty cool out there, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to meet one of the guys from Slapshot.
Was that Dave Hansen?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Dave Hansen. Cool. You know, we've had him on the podcast, or maybe you don't know that.
No,
but
I didn't
but,
know that.
But we have. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. We had him on FaceTime. So it was really funny watching his facial expressions. That's one of those. He does not have a face for radio. He is a face for being in the movies. He's just like in Slapshot.
Yes, that's for sure. Did he give you any words of inspiration at all?
No, he just said, keep trying. That was really it. I mean, he gave me a fist. He said, yeah, he said, just keep going.
All right. That's iconic. Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier that your brother played for the Gamblers. Did that inspire you at all to want to try out for the team?
Yeah, I just thought that was the place that I wanted to be in that time. And I realized that if I was going to go anywhere, I'd have to start with them.
And is he a year younger than you?
Yeah, but just about 2 years.
So who's the better of the two players?
Definitely me.
All right. That's good. That's good. I like the confidence. So when you said, if I want to get anywhere, so what do you mean get anywhere? What does that mean?
Well, I want to see how far hockey takes me. I mean, I want to go as far as possible.
What's the dream?
At least to make it to juniors.
Okay. And hopefully D1 probably, and hopefully beyond?
Scholarships, yeah.
Cool. Good for you. Keep working hard, buddy.
Are there any collegiate teams that you would like to play for or that you keep an eye on?
Not currently. I'd like to play for anybody that would want me.
That's cool. that's cool.
Nothing. All right. Any players that you like to watch or any pro teams that you like to watch at all?
Well, I've always been a Minnesota fan just because of they were the closest ones to us. But other than that, I don't really have any single player that I would say had brought me to where I am. I mean, not a symbol for me, I guess.
Okay. Nobody okay. that you're patterning your game after or anything like that. Okay. No. All right. Be your own man.
Anybody in particular you'd like to give a shout out to that's helped you up to this point?
No, just my family. Like I said, always pushing me, never wanting me to quit.
Okay. Any teammates you like playing with that help you with your game, or the guy that no matter who you pass the puck to, he's going to put it in the net so you get a point?
Well, it's really fun to play with Cade Kozak and Ty Bashaw. They're really good players, and it's fun to have them on the team.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Moog, what do you think?
I think that's great. I'm excited. This is it's been a great conversation, and I like hearing a young man who wants to work hard, understands what that hard work can bring him, and I hope you continue to do that in your life. It's not just hockey either. That, you know, you use that in all aspects of your life, so keep working hard, buddy.
Yeah. You know, now that we mentioned that, how's the grades in school?
Actually, not that bad this year. I've been trying to keep them up better. I mean, I know high school is, they always look back on that, and that's permanent. So I realized that I need to kind of put in the effort for high school.
Good for you.
Hey, that's excellent, especially to our young listeners.
I tell you, you know, I'm listening to his schedule, Monday through Thursday practice, you know, games on the weekends. You know, you need to eat in there, you need to sleep in there, you need to do your homework in there. You have to really be organized. So I'm glad to hear you're putting your time and effort in your schoolwork.
Yeah. Ethan, thank you very much for being a guest. We appreciate your time, and especially with your schedule. You know, for our listeners, this is a Monday. Did you have today off for some reason, or did you already go to practice?
I guess it wasn't a day off. We just didn't go. We need an off day, I guess.
Need an off day. It's been pretty hectic with your parents, and they decided that maybe there was one day that you needed to stay home, and you honored us with your presence.
Well, that we appreciate that.
All right. Ethan, any parting comments or words of wisdom for anybody listening right now?
Just keep the grind going. Never quit.
I like it.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much for being a guest.
Thanks, Ethan. Guys. All right.
Today's Medical Minute is going to be presented by Dr. Jordan Crow. Doctor?
Hey, thanks for having me. So what I want to talk about today was how all of us have some amount of testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. However, men have much higher levels of testosterone, whereas women tend to have much higher levels of estrogen and progesterone. The reason this is relevant is because that higher level of testosterone for men leads to higher muscle mass and strength, increased bone density, and increased hemoglobin, allowing for higher amounts of oxygen carrying in the blood. Estrogen, however, does have a good impact on bone density, is just not as strong as testosterone. So that becomes important later in life. So men will have this testosterone for the entirety of their lives, whereas women, when they reach their early 50s, typically stop ovulating, stop having their cycles, and have a substantial drop in their estrogen. For this reason, women become much more likely to have osteoporosis, meaning brittle bones, than men, about four times greater risk. So in that decade from about age 50 to age 60, when women stop having their cycles, they will see that there's actually approximately a 25% loss in bone density. And that's why we start screening women in their 60s for low bone density. What can be done to avoid this? Increased weight-bearing exercises and healthy amounts of vitamin D and calcium, as well as hormonal health, which I will talk about on our next episode.
Doctor, thank you very much for that presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not forget about our sponsors, Robecki's Rinkside Bar and Grill, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics. Check us out on our website, thebreakoutsessions.com. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and always remember to stay on your inside edges.